We're in the second of a four-part series on expect the unexpected. And I'm not going to read these scriptures ahead of time, but I hope that you'll have your Bible open, your tablet, whatever you're using, your phone, and that when we come to there, we'll go to those scriptures and we'll read them as we come to them. So I'd like to go ahead and just pray, and then we can get started. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word as we come before it today. I ask that you'll help us to come with an attitude of expectation, an attitude of humility, an attitude of wanting to learn. I pray and thank you for these folks who are here this morning. We have come for various reasons to this building. I pray that most important of all, we have come to worship you, come to get closer to you and to draw our strength for everyday life from you. And may that be reinforced for us today. I pray, Father, that as I bring the message, that you'll help me to remember I'm just a vessel of yours. And you'll help me to recall the things that been studying, be able to share them so they are understood and understandable. And then I pray that you'll help us to be able to take what we hear and what we read and apply it to our lives. Thank you, Father, so much for just being who you are. And thank you for Jesus. Help us to focus on him and him only this morning. I pray this in his name. Amen. There are a lot of truths in the Bible which are hard to understand. For example, the Trinity. God is three in one. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, to understand that is hard enough. To explain it might just take that misunderstanding or lack of ability to a whole nother level. There are a number of teachings in the Bible that are hard to understand. Two of them I want to talk about this morning with you. One of them is God made flesh. The other one is that Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, the problem that we have with those, and what's even maddening, is that they're kind of interrelated. You don't have one without the other. And so, he was born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 tells us that. But over and over in the New Testament, we read constantly that he was fully God and fully man. Now, I want to explore both of those, and I understand that with the limited time we have, it's going to be very surface. I'm going to challenge you that maybe you'll say, you know, I want to know a little bit more about that, so I'm going to study that more on my own. But I want to challenge you to at least try to grasp these teachings that we need to believe. Maybe not understanding them completely, but at least being able to say, I believe them, okay? So those are the two teachings we're going to look at this morning. So let's get started and ask a question. First of all, what child is this? There is a Christmas song, one of the very familiar Christmas songs, and it has this lyric, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Now, I read one writer as I was studying who said that as a child, he was not impressed with that Christmas song because it asked a question which everybody knew, even little kids. He said, and I quote, what child is this? Really? It's Jesus, of course. We all know that. Even the kids know that, unquote. And that's true. What child is this? And it's easy to see that we know the answer to that. But then I keep going back to this story where Jesus was in the boat. And remember the storm came up and Jesus got up and he calmed the sea. What was the question his disciples asked? Do you remember that? Who is this man? And so they were asking the same question that that song is saying, who is this child? Who is this Christ? Well, I want to take you through that by looking at some scriptures and ask ourselves the question, what child is this? The first one I'd like you to go to is John chapter 1, verse 14. And I'm going to read these, so I hope that you'll read along with me as we look at them. John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh. and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us. If someone comes up to you and says, give me as short a statement as you can of what Christmas is all about, this is it. All you need to tell them is the Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us. That is the Christmas message in a story. And basically what it is the eternal Word, God, became flesh to live among us. You can fight however you want that truth, and yet somehow you cannot deny that truth, unless, of course, you have a skewed idea of who Jesus is. John's giving us a very clear testimony of one of the most remarkable miracles of the Bible, that God became flesh, that the creator of the universe became like one of his created beings, us, so that we might be saved. Now, what seems to cause some hesitation in some people's mind is the idea that what we have trouble wrapping our heads around is the idea that God became flesh. What exactly does that mean? How does that work itself out? And that leads us to our next verse, which is Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. We'll eventually get to Isaiah, by the way. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to read, beginning with verse 5, and read to verse 8, and then show you how there are three truths that are involved in this short passage of Scripture about who Jesus is. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. There are three truths listed in those verses. Verse 6 tells us about his deity. Verse 7 tells us about his incarnation, and verse 8 tells us about his death. His deity, his incarnation, and his death. He gave up his throne in heaven to come to earth and put on flesh so that he could eventually die in our place. I don't know about you, but does that make sense to you? That someone would give up all that he had, become flesh, just so he could die. It makes no sense to me. Chuck Swindoll has written several books, and one of the chapters in his book on doctrine, he titles it Deity in Diapers. It's very well put. Because Jesus was God in the flesh, so he became deity in diapers. So why did he do what he did? Was it to show us that it could be done? Or was it just to show us that it was just a stunt? What was he here to accomplish? That same song that we just mentioned about what child is this also has this stanza. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. That sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Said no one ever. The truth is revealed to us in the story of the birth and in the Bible, and that is that the Word became flesh. And without a cross, there is no good news at all. He came as a baby in the flesh for the purpose of dying for our sin. Dave Matthes has written a book on the Christmas story, and he said, the light and joy of Christmas are hollow if we sever the link between Bethlehem and Golgotha. In other words, you can't have one without the other. If all you have is Bethlehem, then Jesus is just another man born just like everybody else is. If you have just Golgotha, then there's nothing there. But you put them together, and you have Christ, God made flesh. You have his deity, you have his incarnation, and you have his death, all wrapped up in three neat, tidy verses that Paul gives us. But then there's the third one. Now you can go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a passage probably you could quote without even going there. He says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. That's the same words. Those are the same words that are used in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. When Mary gave birth, and it says that she named him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This child was special. This child was unique. And this child was different from every other child ever born before or since. How do I know that? That's the second question. What truth is conveyed? I'm going to put it very simply, very succinctly, very bluntly. Jesus was born of a virgin. Of the billions of humans who have lived throughout history, only one person has ever entered the world this way. Paul told Timothy in chapter 2, verse 5, he said, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is who? The man Christ Jesus. How could he become our mediator if he was just like all of us? He couldn't. And so he needed to be born differently. And you can see it here. Jesus was born of a virgin. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't a pick-me-up from the Gospels. It wasn't a side note in a margin where someone says, oh yeah, let's put that in there. Jesus was born of a virgin. And it wasn't the end note where if you read a book at the very end, it tells you, now this is a story of it. You can believe it or not. You see, we are not given that option. The virgin birth of Christ is not a minor doctrine. It is not something, a teaching that we can toss aside. You know, when we used to have newspapers, they used to always talk about having news above the fold. Remember? You would have the headlines and you'd have the important things up here. And then below the fold, they would say would be the less important stories on every page. The headline says Jesus is born of a virgin. That is not a secondary, below the line, below the fold story. That is a truth that we must believe. Matthew and Luke both mention it, and they were no dummies. Luke was a doctor. And if anybody would know about a pregnancy and a birth, it would be a doctor. And so he knew what he was talking about. N.T. Wright is a theologian, and I don't always agree with him, but I love what he said here. He said, first century folk knew every bit as well as we do that babies are produced by sexual intercourse. When in Matthew's version of the story, Joseph heard about Mary's pregnancy, his problem arose not because he didn't know the facts of life, but because he did. He knew that he was not the father. And so it caused all kinds of confusion in his mind. What am I going to do with her? Until he saw an angel visit him and totally changed his mind completely. There's always been attacks on the virgin birth. Always. The question is this, why? Let me give you a couple of them. Some of them you're going to roll your eyes at. I'm going to give you four. And you might roll your eyes at a couple of them and go, how in the world could they say that? A pastor of one of the nation's largest churches was asked one time what he thought. His answer was, and I quote, I could not in print or in public deny or affirm the virgin birth of Christ. When I have something I can't understand or comprehend, I just don't deal with it, end quote. Okay, so we don't understand something, so we just pretend it doesn't exist. Somehow that doesn't fly very well with me. Here's another one. Another attack was made is that Jesus was the result of a love affair between Mary and a Roman soldier. Another said that Mary married Joseph and had Jesus after their marriage when she unwittingly conceived a child by a neighbor who came in the dark of the night. Joseph knew it wasn't his child. He married her and then left her after Jesus was born. And then there are those who say Jesus is just a myth, or the virgin birth is just a myth, or just a counterfeit. Here's the question I have. Why are people attacking the virgin birth? Why are they looking like they do with the resurrection? Why are they looking so hard to discredit it? Because if you can discredit the virgin birth, you can wipe out Christianity. You can wipe out the whole life of Jesus as being special. You can wipe out the whole reason, well, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So is it really all that important? Let me give you a very short, frank answer. Yes. The virgin birth is an underlying assumption in everything the Bible says about Jesus. That makes him special. Frankly, if you throw out the virgin birth, you reject Christ's deity, you reject the accuracy and the authority of the Scripture, you reject a host of other doctrines which are at the very heart of the Christian faith. To understand Jesus, we have to start there. Now you might say, but I don't understand the virgin birth. Well, join the club. But I believe it. And I believe it because this book teaches it. Because Jesus lived a life like no one else. You cannot deny the virgin birth of Christ because it is part and parcel of who Jesus is from birth to death to coming again. Everything the Bible teaches about Jesus hinges on this truth. If Jesus is not born of a virgin, then his life is just hogwash. And you know what? His life is just like mine and yours. And that's why they try so hard to discredit the virgin birth. Let me take you to one more scripture, John chapter 18, verse 37. It's not on the PowerPoint, because actually I added it this morning. John chapter 18, verse 37. It's a great Christmas text, even though it came later on in Jesus' life and it was spoken by Jesus himself. In verse 37, Pilate says to him, "So you're the king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this purpose, I have been born, and for this I have come into the world." You see, Jesus was not born like everybody else. He came into the world. The uniqueness of his birth is that he did not originate at his birth. He existed before time began. He existed before he was born in a manger. He was long before he became Jesus of Nazareth. He existed long before that. The theological word is not creation. He was not a creation. He was incarnated. God made flesh. Pastor David Jeremiah, pastor of Shadow Mountain Church out in California, wrote a book called Why the Nativity. And he says this, and I quote, "Jesus was born into this world, not from this world. He is no way a product of the natural earth or the union of a human father and a human mother. And said he is the eternal person of the Lord himself, the infant one who created the universe, taking on the limited form of a human being." In other words, Jesus was unique. Jesus was not born like me and you. He came from the Father. But he already existed before he even came. And the Bible tells us that he was willing to give all of that up to come down as a little baby, to take on flesh, to ultimately go to a cross and die. So, let me close with a couple thoughts, actually three thoughts. I know that it's not fun talking about stuff like this, and sometimes your head goes, you know, starts spinning around thinking, I can't quite grasp that. But there are three questions that we are faced with. Number one is the question of biblical authority. Will we or will we not accept the Bible's authority on this matter or on any matter? Matthew and Luke both teach us about the virgin birth. So are we willing to accept the very plain teachings of the virgin birth in the Bible or not? That's the question. The same writers who tell us about the virgin birth also tell us about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They also tell us he's coming again. And folks, you can disbelieve one, but it doesn't work that way, because the life of Jesus is a seamless whole, and you either take it all or you reject it all. So the first question is, you question biblical authority if you question the virgin birth. The second question is, you question who is Jesus. If you take away the virgin birth, you've got to ask the question, well, who is Jesus then? He's just like every other man, right? Where did he come from? Is he truly the Son of God from heaven? Now, if you answer yes to the fact that he is a virgin born, then you'll have no trouble with answering those questions. Is he really the Son of God? Where did he come from? However, if you answer no, it could be damning. You either believe all of it or you don't believe any of it. There's just no halfway. And finally, we are faced with a decision, every one of us. What will we do with Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? Here's the point, folks. Our world tells us that Jesus was just a prophet. Jesus was just a great teacher. Jesus was just a martyr. Jesus was a revolutionary who never intended to start his own religion, or Jesus is the Son of God. Which one will you take? So the question is, will you believe that he is God incarnate, that he is the Lord, that he is the Son of God, that he is our Savior? You see, the virgin birth tells us that we can't be neutral. And we can't say that the stories about him don't matter. This same Jesus, who was a baby, lived among people. He touched them. He healed them. He said, I and the Father are one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. I am the door. I'm the vine and you're the branches. So many descriptions of him. If Jesus is just a man, then that's all a lie. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to say that. I will stake my claim. Not because I totally understand the virgin birth, but I will stake my claim because the Bible teaches it, and therefore I believe it. There is a direct connection between the manger and the cross. Every year we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, and we talk about the resurrected Christ. Every year we talk about the baby born in a manger. Those two go together. You can't have one without the other. And so here's the question that I have for you is, who is Jesus to you? Is he the Savior? Is he your Savior? Is he your King? Is he your Lord? Or is he just a myth? Is he just a legend? Is he just a story that someone has made up? You have to make that decision. Nobody else can do it for you. And then there are people that you come in contact with every week they have those questions. Will you stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Or will you agree that he's just a man? Each one of us must make that decision. Nobody can do it for you. So I hope and pray that you will decide that Jesus is all he said he was, that he is God in the flesh, and that he was born of a virgin, that he lived and died a perfect, sinless life, died on a cross, buried in a tomb, and raised bodily, ascended to heaven, and hey, we're waiting for him just to say, okay, time to go. And there it is. Are you ready for that moment? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to settle this question in our minds and in our hearts. Nobody else can do it for us. We may not understand everything there is, but we are asked to believe it, to accept it by faith. And if we come to you hesitatingly and say, I want to believe, help my unbelief, you will answer that prayer. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus said that to the man who brought his son. Said, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus did just that. And so we bring our questions, we bring our hesitancy to you, and we say, make it solid. And for those in this room who do believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, Father, I pray that you'll help us to cement that truth, to realize the importance of that truth as we celebrate Christmas this year, that you are God in the flesh, giving up everything to come to earth to die in our place. Father, and help us then this week as we go throughout our week, if we have friends and people we work with who have questions, help us not to be afraid, but help us to be bold and willing to speak up for you and lead them to the Christ who can save them. Go with us this week, Father. I pray that you'll help us to use this week to focus on you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it. Have a great week and celebrate Christmas.